You're listening to the Loyalty Minute, the show that helps you build better customer loyalty and more valuable user engagement with your host, Rob Gallo.
Welcome, loyal listeners, to another episode of the Loyalty Minute. I'm your host, Rob Gallo, and today I'm super eager and excited to chat with Meredith Kelleher. Meredith runs a boutique agency that helps new and seasoned business owners find the right people to effectively communicate their value of their offer and move prospects along the customer journey quickly. She helps entrepreneurs, develop and implement marketing strategies that optimize for profit and meet their customers where they are with social media advertising, conversion copywriting, or building out of products on
Kajabi.
Yep. I'm sorry. Don't worry. Welcome to the show, Meredith. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So for those who don't know who you are and don't know who Kajabi is, maybe you could expound a little bit on both.
Yeah. Okay, great. So I'm Meredith Kelleher and I live not far from you, we figured out, in Miami, Florida. I'm a mom of three, mom and wife. We have three teenagers in the house, which is a lot. So I love to work. And I love my teenagers too. They keep me on my toes. But I studied accounting and worked for PricewaterhouseCoopers as an auditor for the first 6 years of my working life, and never loved being an auditor. I realized pretty quickly that big corporation wasn't necessarily for me. I prefer big ideas that I get to play with more. So I started my entrepreneurial journey, after leaving Pricewaterhouse after 6 years, and I've done different things, and they were all sort of self-taught, which was cool. And I got to use this creativity. I think I always knew I had. I really loved to write, and learned social media. So the last 5 or 6 years, last 5 years, I owned a franchise called The Scout Guide. It's in Palm Beach. It's in 60 cities. Each owner owned a city, and it's a beautiful coffee table book that featured a business for a year. We printed 20,000 copies, and we basically did influencer type marketing around the businesses that were in the book. So for a year I would post on social media and anyway, learn those social media skills. So one day when I was looking at Facebook and Instagram ads, I was learning about them for myself. And I was listening to a podcast because I'm a big podcast fan, and Rick Mulready he's got a great podcast called The Art of Online Traffic. And he said, Facebook ads are all about the numbers, which is true. And I kind of was like, ding, ding, ding. Like, I know numbers. And I had developed a skill with social media. So I went and took a couple of classes, and it was love at first ad placement. I just really enjoy the building the strategies for businesses and reviewing the numbers, but also creating the copy is really important in Google and Facebook and Instagram ads, not as much in Google ads. And then, copy isn't as important there. And, they're just like one or two sentences in Google ads. Still important, right? But not as hard to create. And then, and the graphics. So it's been really fun. And I started my own agency about a year ago, and it was fun because I had a lot of contacts because of my local advertising, like owning that magazine for 5 years. So I was just able to go to businesses and say, I have an idea for you. This would be awesome. And I knew who they would work for and they trusted me. So it was, I quickly got in business.
That's great.
Didn't you ask about Kajabi? Kajabi, I also built an online course in there. It was called Instagram Strategy for Busy Doctors. The pandemic sort of threw us a curveball. We ended up we built it out, but we didn't sell it for very long. I did it with a partner. But anyway, Kajabi is an amazing course platform. And just because I built my own course, I know announced, but it's also a very easy, if anyone's looking, very easy to use website builder. They have great, it's an all-in-one solution. It's a little expensive if you're not going to build a course or a membership site. But if you are, I would check it out. And you could maybe build it yourself, where like WordPress is super hard to build. I would never tell anyone, go try and build a WordPress site yourself. But, or you can come to me and I would help you if I've done that for a few people, which is why you read that.
Yeah, well, I live in WordPress, but I use templates. So I just get a template and then you just fill in all the blanks for, you know, usually it comes with some demo copy for the underlying business strategy that it might have, or whatever the business is. And then you kind of tweak it. And like you said, the important part, I think really, Meredith, comes at the copy level, where that's going to motivate people to take action, right?
Yes. And the layout, right, of the website. Yeah. So you, I like to use, we're just going off on a tangent, but I really like to use a brand's story or story brand marketing. So I've helped businesses, if they need a website, I said, first, just trust me. Let's take a minute. Let's write your brand story. And I like Donald Miller's suggestion. He has a New York Times bestselling book, Building Your Story Brand. And he suggests putting the customer as the hero of the journey and the business as the guide. And so anyway, we will write the story out. And then on the website, like we were just talking, it's really important to put the right copy in the right place. Like, mm-hmm. You want to first address the people that want to be able to work with you in 5 seconds. So you want to make sure you have, you know, this is what I can do for you, and this is how you work with me as soon as they land. And then you use your brand story to build out your homepage, like talk about the objections. And by the way, here's how you can work with me if I've convinced you by now, you know, and then talk about the value you're going to bring. Oh, and here's another call to action button. Yeah. Anyway, the layout's important.
So we're going to get that in a little bit of later the conversation with regard to some case studies that I think you've done that would kind of enlighten our listeners. But the first question that I ask most of my guests is, from a personal perspective, Meredith, what does loyalty, brand loyalty and customer loyalty, mean to you as a consumer?
So I thought about this before we got on, and I've figured out that for me, I like for a business to know me. So be known or recognized by the business, or feel known anyway. I like consistency. So knowing that I can count on, I've thought about a restaurant, you know, that every time I go, they're going to have consistently good food instead of it being not so great one time and good the next. And I like convenience. I really do. So what my favorite clothing boutique moved locations. They moved from South Miami to Coconut Grove, which is only like a mile and a half. But I find myself not going to her store as much just because it's not on my convenient route.
Mm-hmm. So that means she hasn't built enough loyalty for you to make the trip.
I mean, and I'm planning to go tomorrow. I've realized because it's on my way to bring my friend a birthday present, but yeah, but I don't think it's just her. I mean, in Miami, we have terrible traffic. So you have to do something really magical to make me drive, you know, an extra 2 miles, but yeah, I realize it's important to me to be convenient. Mm-hmm.
So can you think of any stories that would, beyond that, what you just mentioned, that would, you know, you could think about major companies that would make you loyal because of a story that, you know, a particular incident that might have happened with you?
Yeah. So it's not a huge company, but there is a restaurant that I'll name it if you're in South Florida or Miami, Whisk Gourmet. And it was started, it's just they only have one store restaurant. And it was started by a brother and sister maybe 15 years ago. And he was the chef, and he has great food. It's sort of a neighborhood place. It is also really good. Like, we have this food network competition, I guess, in South Florida and Miami every year. And he was recognized by all the Food Network chefs. One year he won the Burger Bash, which is like the covenant. I mean, the gold medal of this festival. But yeah, so I would go there with my husband on the weekend to eat, you know, for a special dinner because it was great. Or when I was calling on local businesses, I would even stop in by myself for lunch. And even when they didn't have Wi-Fi, I would stop in and use pen and paper because I just liked being there. Well, the restaurant sold. The brother and sister decided they were tired and wanted to move on. And I just knew, I think like a lot of other people, that they sold to a guy that wasn't from South Miami. He owned like some other, maybe like a Mexican seafood restaurant across town. And I thought, like probably others, oh, it's going to be horrible. He could never run it. Well, he kept the same menu and recipes. The food stayed consistent, but it really, it tasted like Brent, the old brother, the had cooked it. And he kept as much of the staff as would stay. So the maitre d' and the different waiters. And so they still knew me. Like I said, being known is important to me. So yeah, I mean, it really blew my mind. I was like expecting the worst. And so it makes me, we just went last weekend and he's owned it now because the pandemic sort of was a time suck, wasn't it? But I think this was like 3 years ago or maybe two. And yeah, I'm very, even maybe even more loyal to him because I'm so impressed that he was able to.
That's good. Yeah. So
yeah.
He understood apparently what customer loyalty was about before he even acquired the company and recognized, I guess he must have looked at the books and records and said, these people are doing solid business. They have a good following. Let's keep it the same and make some improvements.
It was smart. It was smart because there was a lot of people like me that went again and again. And if he changed too much, he did one change. He added liquor. They didn't have that before. And I think they only had wine and beer. And I think a lot of people were happy about that. But yeah, I mean, if he could have come in and add his own wow, which he was a restaurateur, he probably had some pizzazz, it really would have bothered regular. So he was smart. Yeah. Mm. He was smart.
Good. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's turn the tables now to you as a marketing professional.
Yeah.
So can you share with us some pain points that you have when it comes to creating and maintaining loyal customers for your clients? So in other words, you service small businesses.
Yeah.
Can you think of some problems that come up that could easily be addressed through, you know, the right strategies that you've
implemented? Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, small business owners, especially, they often want to jump to the sale. And, you know, sometimes that just doesn't work. Like you got to build up brand awareness and let people build that, like marketers like to talk about that know, like, and trust. And so I think that is, I see it a lot with online service providers that don't, you know, I mean, that maybe create a course like I did before and want people to buy it. Just like say, here's a course, no one's going to do that. They really need to spend time online, and it can be painful if you've got something great that you know is great, you know people are going to want. You really need to spend time like building awareness of who you are and who your business is and what it stands for before you can make a sale. Yeah.
So that leads into the next sort of dovetails into like, what's a case study that you could think of an entrepreneur or a small business owner that came to you and said, Meredith, help us out. And said, you know, maybe we recognize we shouldn't go right for the sale. We'll take your advice. So what sort of steps and on the journey would you take them through the awareness, building the brand, creating the story for the brand? You know, some examples would be cool.
Yeah. So like I said, in my agency, I've helped people with ads. So my head always goes to like how to Facebook and Instagram ads and how I could help them with the ads, building awareness before we ask them for a sale. And one example I have is a meal delivery service where this Chef Nicole, if you're in South Florida, she is an athlete, like she's a triathlete, and she's also a highly trained chef. And she has healthy meals that people can order online and then they're delivered twice a week. And you can pick from different, it's not, you don't just sign up for it. You pick which meal you want. There are like 15 choices. Mm-hmm. So what we, and she really had grown by her reputation, like for people that knew her at the races that she did and at the gym. And, but she needed to go to the next, she's ready to increase her sales. And so we use a video view ad to build online awareness. So before we, and you could, I mean, sometimes you could try, especially with food. So food, fitness, and fun, people love to eat. So there's a chance you could go straight for a sale with food, meaning if we showed an ad and if you want this meal, buy it. Mm-hmm. But even in her case, we I had her do a TikTok video. Mm-hmm. And this was in January of this year. So Instagram Reels were just getting started. I think they started last October before. But we did a TikTok because she wasn't comfortable talking on camera like we are now. And I went over there full service and filmed her with my iPhone, like cooking. And this was before the pointing videos had gotten kind of too old. But we made a TikTok where she pointed at words, you know, and we introduced her like, I'm Chef Nicole. This is what I do, to like a fun song. And we just used the video view objective on Facebook, which, you guys, Facebook Business Manager controls both Facebook and Instagram ads. So this ad campaign ran on both Facebook and Instagram. That confuses people, but it's called Facebook Business Manager. So I call them Facebook ads often. Anyway, we ran this video view campaign for, we spent $20 a day. So we did four different ad sets at $5 each. You could even do this for $5 a day. And we targeted the zip codes that she wanted to deliver to. And we just let people get to know her. But what's cool about it is Facebook will tell you it's not very expensive to, if you're asking them to keep their members, I guess, Facebook, if we're members of Facebook, but if you're asking them to stay on Facebook, all we wanted to do was people watch her video on Facebook. It costs 2 cents a view, 2 or 3 cents a view. Mm. So I did that. You could get 250 people to watch your video for 15 seconds and Facebook tells you who they are. You record that. And then, so then we retargeted those people that watched her video mm-hmm. with an offer to buy her meals. And she ended up getting, we ran the ads for quite a while and she had a 8.2 ROI, meaning she'd put $8 in for a purchase ad and someone would order for every $8 she spent, she got 80 back. Or no. Yeah. I don't think that's eight. Sorry. I'm a numbers person, but I think she put eight in, she got 64 back. That's what which is an eight ROI, which is great.
Yeah.
There's not many other, you know, but I think, and I actually do that for a lot of my clients. We start with that video view campaign, which helps build awareness. And, if I can get them to talk about, you know, why they started their business, that often does really well. Like if people can understand what motivates you, but you're not asking them to do anything, but just watch.
Yeah. Did she have a brand to begin with, that you think?
She did. But like I said, she just hadn't, it was just getting built by word of mouth. So, I mean, she had, when you say brand, she had a logo and.
Well, no, I don't mean a logo. I meant a brand. Like you meant she's a triathlete. Like in the About Us section or, you know, Tony Robbins is a brand because of what he's done for the last 25, 30 years. But I mean, in her case, you know, people know who she is, but a brand is the story behind who she is and why she does what she does that people can get behind and say, yeah, I'm on board.
Exactly. You know. Yeah, she did. Like she was able to tell like why why she loved helping people fuel themselves with healthy meals so they could do sports like her. And honestly, because she would tell you, she suffered from anorexia in high school and is really interested in telling that story and helping empower people and helping other people that might've had eating disorders. And she's just so busy because she's in the kitchen so much. So we've been working on that. Like she'd like to record her story on a video and then use that but it's not on her website yet. But I do think that that'd be powerful for her to connect with people. Yeah,
definitely. Mm-hmm. All right. So let me ask you this, what sort of actionable advice could you give to our listeners that they can implement today at a low cost? I think you mentioned something around 5 cents, but you know, so some people say I need to do this on my own because I have to be in control, or, you know, do I contact Meredith and have her do it for me or work collaboratively? What's your advice in that respect?
Yeah. Well, I've got some good ideas. I love to share just a few different ideas, the ways you could use ads to build loyalty. But my advice is, if you're super busy and you need to outsource something, Facebook and Instagram ad management is, I think, a good place to consider outsourcing, because it is a complicated and powerful tool. And it sort of looks like Greek when you get in there, but it's definitely learnable. If you have the time, you can sit down and learn it. So first you got to have the time to learn it and then to implement it. But even if, you know, I always kind of like to understand how things work before I outsource them. And if that is you, to listener, then, you know, give it a go. There's tons of free resources out there. But one thing I might consider, I was talking with another ads agency owner yesterday. One thing I might consider is hiring someone like me or another ad agent to bounce your strategy off of. A lot of people have like a one-day session, a two-hour sessions, because tell them it changes like a suggested strategy based on what your objective is and how much, what your budget is. Because if you have more money to spend, then a different strategy might be suggested. If you just have a little bit of money there, you know, so I think that that could be a good investment, is like a strategy session, and then do it yourself. You know, like I spent 8 hours, and I don't know if I would do 8 hours again, but with a woman that teaches tap dance teachers how to run their tap dance class. And she, we went through, we set up all her ads together, and then I sent her on her way, and she had a lot of questions. That was what, about her last campaign, and we went through them all, and then she's going to run it. So that's a great way to do it. Like, we really got everything set up, and then she's going to watch it. And I showed her how to measure the results, and yeah, so that's a good way. But yeah, you want me to share some campaign ideas?
Sure.
Okay. Well, this video view campaign I mentioned is a great way, sure, to introduce yourself to a community and then retarget them. But you guys, this is a campaign. It's actually an objective you can set up if you're doing it yourself on Facebook or Instagram. You can run one ad set for $5 a day. So for $35 a week, you could get in front of, I looked at one of my clients that's doing this. She reaches 715 people for $5 in one day. In one day, she reaches 715 people, and she got 250 people to watch her entire video, which is great. So I think this would be a great tool for, you know, awareness, people getting to know you. But I also, at one of the episodes I just listened from your show, was a video. I think it was just, it aired a couple of days ago or last week maybe, but he owned a B2B business that made videos for businesses.
Yes.
And he had a funny German, like the company had a funny
yes.
German name. Yeah. I'm not going to try to say it, but anyway, it was a good episode. It made me think, I want to look at his website too. But, he was suggesting like that what he liked was a business that had how to videos, because he bought he rented an RV, a Winnebago is the word he used. And there was on their website, they had all these 30-second videos of how to do, you know, dump the tank or how to do this and that on the Winnebago. Well, I think that could be a great video. You could actually run to your customers. You can create an audience on Facebook, but of your current customers, you could run that to them for $5 a day to remind them that you've got these how-to videos going. You know, you can use the copy to say, you know, it could be a funny one. If it was that Winnebago, you could be like dumping the toilet or whatever. I have never rented a Winnebago, but I know that it's probably yucky to do that, but it'd make a silly, you know, like,
yeah,
this is what our customers find the most important. But I also think that could be an interesting way for people to get to know you. Hey, that's cool that they are loyal to their customers, that they have all these videos, you know?
Yeah.
The other, and there's all kinds of things, all kinds of videos you could do there. Another thing is I really like, organic social media. I know a lot of people do, but it's so frustrating to some business owners because the return, you know, it's a long game for sure. But it's a great way for businesses to get to, for customers to get to know the businesses. I mean, when I was teaching Instagram, I would tell the doctors, because we wrote a course, Instagram strategy for busy doctors, I would encourage them to tell a little bit of their personality in their Instagram. Anyway, and if you're doing that, or you're, you are attempting to grow a social media, then, and not every ad strategist agrees with this, but I think putting a little money behind getting followers. So a lot of times people will say, don't use ads to grow your social media following, use them to collect email addresses. Well, here's the deal, you guys. I do love that. We own our email addresses. Mark Zuckerberg owns our, you know, Instagram followers, but he also charges a lot more to help us build our email list. And it's not very expensive, like I said, to keep people on his platform. So yeah, so there's a trick. You can, if you don't do this, unless you are committed to being consistent on Instagram and really allowing people to get to know you, or if you already are, you know, consistently posting on Instagram, you can run a traffic campaign to your Instagram account. So you, when you go to Facebook, you just select that your objective is traffic this time instead of video views, and you send them to the URL. So that just means you want to pay Facebook to get traffic to a website. And so, but the website is your Instagram profile. So you put in there Instagram.com/Meredith Kelleher in my instance. And then we run just Instagram story ad with, I did this for a local dentist in Fort Lauderdale. Actually, we had her make an Instagram story, and one of her adorable, the gentleman that worked at her front desk. And he said, for instance, like, "Hey, I'm Joe at Dr. Patty's Dental Boutique and Spa. Have you checked out her Instagram? It's so fun. She talks about smile makeovers and, you know, her new adorable baby and whatever." And then swipe up to follow Dr. Patty. And it worked. Like, Dr. Patty, I can attest, because it's hard to run a doctor's campaign on Instagram. She got followers for $2 each, which is pretty good. And the cool thing about it is that these are really good followers. They're not like you paid for a robot. These are people that swiped up and looked at your profile and decided to follow you. But I've used that campaign for other, like the tap dance teacher has tried that. And I mean, she gets to dance and have beautiful thing. It's not about teeth, you know, and she did it herself, but she got a lot less. It was a lot less. So the cost of her followers. So I think that's a great tool. So we're talking about loyalty. And I said that, you know, being known is important to me. Like, one thing, and now I'm getting sidetracked, but if you are on social media as a business, you know, follow your customers and share what they're doing on your business Instagram. It gives you great, easy content, but also it makes people like me that like to be noticed, feel noticed, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then the other thing is, and this is more in, well, the other, you can use ads to build your loyalty program. I actually heard on another ad strategist saying, this is a great thing to do to combat the expenses of Black Friday advertising. So he was suggestion. And then if you guys have a loyalty program, the thing with Facebook and Instagram ads is they can put you in front of you can really target your ideal customer, but a lot of time it's cold leads. Like they're not necessarily your customers. They're just your ideal customer. They have the demographics. They either live in the right place. They're the right age. They like cars because, you know, they follow X, Y, and Z Facebook pages. So maybe they want to drive their own Winnebago, you know, like you can, so you're going to put an ad in front of these people that don't necessarily know you. So the best kind of ad is gives an irresistible offer, like something that they couldn't get anywhere else. And that really wins. Like, you don't often win with just, "I'm a great dentist," because there's 100 great dentists that they don't know, you know? Mm-hmm. So a loyalty program, I assume, is something really great for your, and I know a lot of times maybe you have to become a customer to be part of the loyalty program. But if you don't, if you could, you know, "Hey, advertise, we have this amazing loyalty program. When you, you know, buy 5 things, you get the 6th one for free," or whatever it is, that could be the irresistible offer that works on Facebook ads. So that could be a great, and you would invite people to a landing page to sign up and, you know, give you their name and email address. And that campaign, it's called a conversion campaign, and you optimize for leads. That's something Facebook asks you. And then you just send them to the landing page to sign up for your loyalty. And what this gentleman I heard was suggesting is, ad prices go up during the holidays. And so maybe a business that is watching their budget, like we all are, he was saying, maybe you don't want to run ads during Black Friday to December, but you can start now in telling people, you know, we have irresistible offer during Christmas, but only people on this list are going to get the offer.
Right.
And as long as you're honest, which is true, like, you know, if that's the truth, then that is a kind of, you could get a great response there. And one thing I have in my notes, I took notes before you met, is I see testimonials work really well on Facebook ads. And so any of these campaigns I just mentioned, you could use a video of someone giving you a testimonial or a photo in them. And I think, and they work really well. So there's this one, a carousel ad, you can picture it, where it's an ad where you can flip through and see different photos for one ad. You could put a different, testimonial in each one that allows you about a sentence or two of copy plus the person's picture. You can even do video testimonials, which is pretty cool. Yeah. And I left out of this. I left out of this, the write-up of me when you started. I had in there, but I think I scratched it out, that I also have a pandemic puppy. We bought a puppy in the pandemic, and that would be her. But yeah, I think so. The testimonials help any ad campaign, you know, it just, especially since, like I said, we're going in front of cold audiences often. So that third-party validation is great.
People do like third-party validations. I mean, everyone uses reviews, right? So testimonials is one way to do that. People that actually use your product or service that are willing to talk about it is good stuff. All right, Meredith, listen, you know, you've gave us a lot to chew on here. I think it was great information. If listeners want to get a hold of you directly, what's the best way they could do that?
The best way is my website, meredithkelleher.com. Can you spell it?
Yeah, you can spell it. Well, okay. I'll put it in the show notes.
Oh, so perfect. Yeah. But I have a discovery call button. So you can book a call for 30 minutes, I'd love to hear about your business. Or and all my social media is my name, Meredith Kelleher too, but they're also there on my website, the links to them.
Excellent. Well, again, Meredith, a lot of good stuff. I'd like to thank you for, you know, enjoying sharing your time with us and expounding on your ideas, some really good ideas to our listeners. I also want to thank our listeners for being loyal listeners to the program and for investing some of their valuable time with us. If you feel you received value from the show, we'd appreciate a 5-star review on your favorite podcast streaming service. If you know someone else who you think might enjoy listening to the show, please do share. That's how we grow. To reference this and other Loyalty Minute episodes, please visit theloyaltyminute.com. Enjoy. Thanks again, Meredith.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for your next edition of the Loyalty Minute.